You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, people? Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas. I am so happy you've joined us this week. We have a really, really fun topic that I'm excited about. I love when I get to talk movies with a movie person, a movie guy or girl over there in the podcast world. And today I have a great guest that's actually a first-timer to Two Peas, never been on the show. We communicate a lot on social media, and we listen to each other's shows, but we've never had a chance to be on a show together. But I want you guys to say what's up to my boy Tony from Take Two, among many, many other things, I think, right, Tony? But thanks for being here, man. How are you?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
That's right.
Thanks for having me on, man. I've been a fan of your guys' show for quite a while, and yeah, we started interacting, and I'm glad that it worked out where I could come on and hang out with you for a little bit.
Me too, man. We have a lot of cool banter over there on social media, predominantly Facebook, and we're friends on Facebook over there, and, you know, it's always cool when I get the fan feedback, but it's from, you know, someone who has their own show, which you have Take Two over there, which I think is a great movie podcast as well. And I'm just glad I've gotten to know you the last few months, man. It's really cool to get to kind of know you through the podcasting world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Appreciate any listening you can give us and any, spreading the word. Always helpful.
Of course, man. Yeah, Take Two is great. I'll let you plug your show at the end, too, so you can tell everybody where to find you. All movie lovers should definitely check Tony out over there. Well, man, you know, what we're doing today is we are counting down our top five on-screen movie duos. So, you know, pairings on the big screen. What do you think, Tony? Was this an easy list for you to compile, or did you struggle with it a little bit?
Well, you know, originally we were talking about doing more of like a team aspect, and I think when we were talking about that, I had a little bit, like, I was going a little crazy with like a much bigger list. Once we got it down to just duos, I think it was a lot easier, although my list isn't that huge. I kind of went more with my heart right off the bat, didn't really do a lot of research, just thought, hey, these are movies I love and teams that I love in movies, so hopefully that works out, and I have a feeling we'll definitely cross over on a couple, just because I know your taste in movies kind of does agree with mine most of the time. So
yeah, that may happen. You know, what's funny, when I was doing my list, I didn't even remember this, but I used to be a movie critic on a online website, and I used to write reviews over there, and we used to do top 10 lists occasionally, and every once in a while they'd be like, Gerald, can you do a top 10, you know, whatever for us? And one of the ones I did was on-screen duos, and I didn't even remember doing that. And I was I was doing research, and I went back into my old top 10s, and I'm like, holy shit, I've done this before, because it was in like 2009 or 10 maybe. So it's been quite a while, and I had just forgotten it, but I pulled it up, and there's only one duo that I'm swapping out. All my duos are the same as they were 8 years ago when I did it back then. So most of my movies are pre 2010-ish, 2011 maybe at the newest. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun, man. I mean, anytime I can talk movies and kind of dive into these, and I'm excited to see what you brought to the table too. So let's get it fired up, man. You want to? I tell you what, I'm going to go first because I know you said your list is a little more interchangeable and mine's a little more kind of hard-nosed. So I will go first. Okay. You know, longtime listeners of the show will know, but we don't share our list with each other in advance. We just don't. We like to be surprised. So, you know, we'll see if we catch each other. We'll see if we catch each other off guard here. Maybe we will. I think you're right, though. We probably will have a couple crossover. All right, so I'm going to go first, man. I'm going to start things off with a movie duo that I don't think a lot of people would think of. And I didn't see this one pop up on any list when I was Googling either. So it's interesting. I love these movies that these guys were in together. And I feel like just seeing them out in public in general together would give me chills just because I think they're so cool, man. But my number five is the duo of Brad Pitt and George Clooney, particularly from the Ocean's 11 series.
Okay, yeah, that's a good call, definitely.
So, yeah, Danny Ocean and Rusty from the Ocean's 11 films. They were also both in Burn After Reading, but not so much a duo in that movie. But, I mean, just so cool, right? I mean, just this era's Rat Pack, if you will. Really, everybody that came out of that movie. But the way their banter and their wit just kind of bounce off of each other in those films. And, I keep the word cool just keeps coming to mind. But they're such cool characters, pulling off that heist together with all their other friends, of course. And, you know, that's a franchise that's lived on. I mean, Ocean's 8 just came out this year with an all-female cast, which got hated on a little bit, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I love Sandra Bullock. I love Rihanna. So I thought it was great. It was a lot of fun. It had the same kind of formula that the original Ocean's movies did. But yeah, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Danny, and Rusty.
What?
I need a reason.
I don't say money.
Why do this?
Why not do it? Because yesterday I walked out of the joint after losing 4 years of my life, and you're cold decking Teen Beat cover boys. Because a house always wins. Play long enough, you never change the stakes, the house takes you. Unless, when that perfect hand comes along, you bet big, and then you take the house.
Been practicing that speech, haven't you?
A little bit. Did I rush it? Felt like I rushed.
No, it was good. I liked it. Teen Beat thing was harsh.
Yeah, I'm totally comfortable in my sexuality. They're sexy men. I mean, and they have they have charisma, they have chemistry, and yeah, it lasted over a couple of movies. It's a great team. And like you said, I did very minimal research, but some of the research I saw said a different pairing with Brad Pitt, and I didn't even think about this one. So I like this one better. I'm glad you went with this.
Cool, man. Well, thank you. Yeah. Getting things started off there with the Ocean's 11 franchise, which, like I said, a lot of people may have not seen coming, but I love that duo together. So that leads us over to your number five, Tony. I'm excited to see what kind of list you're going to formulate here. So what's your top five movie on-screen duo?
Okay, well, I hope you don't hear my pen in the background because I'm already trying to change my list a little bit. Not because of your pick, but my wheels are turning right now. And
okay.
I was going back and forth between different reasons for each pick. And I had different rules that I was kind of staying away from or different reasons I wanted certain picks. So I wanted to have one iconic kind of comedy movie duo on here. And I already saw one mentioned a couple times online and whatever. So I'm going to stay away from it just because I know it's probably going to end up in your list or we're going to hear it later. So I'm going to change mine on the fly and I'm going to go to something that I loved as a kid and I watched over and over again. And that is Bill and Ted from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, man. Of course.
Socrates. Hey, we know that name.
Yeah. Hey, look him up. Oh, it's under Socrates.
Oh, yeah.
Socrates. The only true wisdom consists in knowing that you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, iconic, brother. It's funny, too, because I get into a little spat with our buddies over at the Countdown in Australia because they love Keanu Reeves over there. I mean, they just have a man crush on Keanu Reeves. I'm not a big fan of his. I don't really like him with the exception, honestly, of the Bill and Ted movies, Point Break, and The Matrix. That's really the only movies that I personally enjoy him in.
You're not a Speed fan? Come on.
Yeah, Speed's a good movie, but I don't think for him. Sandra Bullock, I love, I've already said, but.
Sure.
Bill and Ted's, I got to see on the big screen a few months ago at my local Alamo Draft House. They did like an anniversary screening of it. And,
really?
That's a lot of fun, man. That's a great pick. Why do you love it, brother?
Well, I mean, like I said, I grew up on it. It's one of those ones I watched a lot as a kid. You know, we all had those VHS tapes that our parents taped movies off of HBO or wherever, and you had like three movies on there. And this was one of the ones that just got a lot of play. I had a couple other favorite movies on this same VHS, and it was, you put it on and you can almost watch all three movies off that VHS on a Saturday morning, you know? And I just remember watching it a lot with my sister. Her and I still kind of quote back and forth through text every once in a while. We'll say stuff, you know, bogus or, you know, excellent, you know, and it's just, it's kind of a shorthand between me and her. And then I've also just recently introduced the movie to my son.
Oh, okay.
And he loved it. So it's just a lot of fun. And then I think it's kind of coming back into the zeitgeist with them talking about making a part three finally. So
yeah, I saw that.
I think it's a good pick. It's a nostalgic pick for me. There were definitely other comedy duos for movies that I like as well, but I just want to go with this one as a very personal pick for me.
That's cool, man. You're not going to get an argument from me. I love Bill and Ted, especially Excellent Adventure. Great pick, man. Great pick.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, so I'm not in comedy for my number four. My number four would be a dramatic film. It's the only time, to my knowledge, that these two actors were on screen together. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the only time they shared the screen together. But it was just it's a duo and a partnership in a movie that goes from beginning to end, in the middle having all of the things that happen to them and how they have to stick together, and then a true, true happy ending at the very end that they're able to share together as well. It's actually, and another reason I think I love this movie so much, it's actually originated from a Stephen King novella, but I'm talking about The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
In particular, Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins as Red and Andy in that movie.
Andy Dufresne, who crawled through a river of shit and came out clean on the other side. Andy Dufresne, headed for the Pacific.
Hadley's got him by the throat, right? And he says, I believe this boy's about to have himself an accident.
Those of us who knew him best talk about him often. I swear the stuff he pulled.
I believe these friends of mine could use a couple of beers.
And he got it.
And he got it.
Sometimes it makes me sad, though, Andy being gone. I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright. And when they fly away, the part of you that knows it was a sin to lock them up does rejoice. But still, the place you live in is that much more drab and empty that they're gone. I guess I just miss my friend.
One of my favorite movies of all time. You like Shawshank, obviously, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Great pick. Actually, didn't even think about it. I don't know why. It didn't even come to my mind, but that's a fantastic pick. Zay Wataneo. You got to imagine they're just sitting there on the beach together today.
That's right. That's right. And, like I said, a true happy ending there of, what they had to go through in that movie and the prison life. And, really, they were each other's rock, not trying to be too dramatic there. But that's how I felt. And, just a true friendship that was able to develop in the most, just the weirdest spot that you would think it would grow in.
Yeah.
And Andy and Red, still to this day, one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Stephen King, and I love the performances of those actors in that movie, and I feel like they played off each other really well. Do you know, is that the only time? I feel like this is the only time Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman were in a movie together. Is that right?
Yeah, as far as I remember off the top of my head, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
It's funny, too, because if you know the history of that movie a little bit, too, it's kind of the movie that shouldn't have worked. Like, when it was first released, it really was not a hit. Mm-hmm. And then now it's just become, top, one of the top movies on IMDb always. It's perennially on, TBS, TNT, nonstop, Mm-hmm. It's just one of those movies you can turn on at any point and enjoy it, and it's fantastic. And
yeah, it's on It's on a lot of people's all-time list,
Of course. And it's, I think, copying something is obviously something is so popular in pop culture, it's always copied. Simpsons have skewed it, whatever. Everyone talks about Morgan Freeman's voice in that movie. It's one of those things that's just so popular and always will be part of our pop culture as an American society.
Yeah, I agree. So if you're ready, man, what's your number four? Fire it up.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, did you ever read the book?
Oh, no, I did not. I'm a Stephen King fan, but I never got around to reading that one in particular. I saw the movie before I even knew it was a book, to be honest.
Yeah, no, same here. And I'm kind of like that, where if I see something, already adapted, I don't want to go back and read it. So
Right. It's like, I know what happens now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What's your number four, man?
Moving on to number four, I went with a animated classic with Buzz and Woody from Toy Story.
Nice. That's my number three.
Okay. Well, there you go. We have a little bit of crossover.
No crossover, but that's okay.
The reason I went with this one, like I said, I was kind of trying to hit a couple different points, your comedies, your animation, whatever. Another personal one for me, this was my son's favorite movie growing up. So I watched Toy Story 1 and 2 so many times, for a couple years there. It was just on a loop. And it's one of those kids' movies you can really enjoy as an adult. It doesn't get tired ever. I don't care how many times you watch it. And they are just a great pair. They kind of start out as enemies a little bit, but it works. Mm-hmm. And then to then be able to relive their relationship again later through part three. I don't know anybody who saw part three that didn't have tears in their eyes. So it's just a great trilogy, one of the best of all times. And these characters are definitely iconic. You see them all the time. Kids are still playing with the toys. You just had Disney World, you know, expand their park to add in these characters and give them more space, more rides. So I think they're definitely up there as one of the more iconic duos on screen ever.
Yeah, I feel like Toy Story has really kind of transcended Disney even. You know, it's almost like they're their own kind of entity, the Toy Story franchise and everything they're able to do with it because of all the actual toys and children's nostalgia that gets, you know, played into that series. Even the shorts that come out of that, you know, have you seen the Halloween one, Toy Story of Terror?
Yeah, they're all great.
Yeah, Toy Story That Time Forgot, which is kind of a Christmas themed one. But I'll go ahead because I'm up next and it's my number three is Tom Hanks and Tim Allen from Toy Story. And, you know, basically piggybacking on what you said, I mean, it's never not going to make you feel good when you see these characters together on screen. And everyone knows who they are, whether you're 2 years old or whether you're 100 years old. You know who Buzz and Woody are and you know what they're from. You know what their deal is. And, you know, they are, it's a true partnership that, like you said, started as a hatred and started a little bit as enemies. And they came together to realize, well, we kind of need each other to survive in this world that we're living in. And it's a lot of fun, man. I mean, to this day, Toy Story, I remember just seeing that for the first time. And I believe it was 95 when that came out on the big screen.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And just seeing that animation for the first time. And we had never seen anything quite that good in the world of digital animation.
Sure.
And it was tremendous. You know, it's like seeing, you know, like I just saw Into the Spider-Verse. It's like seeing that now in 2018. You know, how you felt seeing Toy Story in 95. It was just something completely different,
yeah,
upgraded,
groundbreaking
and kind of watershed. But just, I mean, Tom Hanks is a treasure. I love him, even though it's just his voice, obviously, in this. I love him.
Sure.
You know, I feel like it's Tim Allen's best work as Buzz, and they just work so well together. And, you know, from a buddy comedy standpoint or a movie duo, they're right up there, man, Buzz and Woody. So I agree with you. They are my number three.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where, you know, this part four goes. I'm a little leery of it because I love that original trilogy. But, hey, we're getting more. And I love how it can be a generational movie, though. Like, I loved it. You know, I was probably a little too old. I was already a teenager when I saw it. But I liked it. My kids now have liked it. They're passing it on. They're growing up with it. And I'm hoping they'll pass it on to their kids. And it'll be just one of those movies that lasts on forever.
Right. And that's the cool thing, man, being able to share that with generations, you know, over and over again. And, you know, my wife's pregnant, so we'll have another kid next year.
Sure.
My son's five right now. My daughter's a teenager. And, you know, I can guarantee you all three of them will know this duo and they'll know this movie franchise because it'll just live on. I mean, a lot of Disney Pixars and just Disney in general, you know, are able to do that. But Toy Story is at the helm, in my opinion, brother.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. A little crossover. But hey, we knew that was coming. So Toy Story is my number three. It was your number four, Buzz and Woody, which wraps us back around to you for your number three, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, give us your number three, man.
All right. I feel like I'm doing a lot of nostalgia and just like the heart feels today. I didn't necessarily mean to do that, but another favorite of mine that I grew up on and I'm still a fan of the series today, Star Wars, I'm going with Han and Chewie. Just a fantastic friendship. And I love the fact that you don't really know what one character's saying to the other. I love the way they play off each other. And especially, you know, Harrison Ford, he's one of the best actors we've ever had. I feel like, and a lot of his movies are so iconic. And, you know, I love anytime they're on screen together. Chewie's one of my favorite characters. I was pumped when I got to, you know, meet the character in Disney World and give him a hug and all that stuff. So I just love Han and Chewie. We have a Funko of Chewie in our house. My son loves him. He has a mask of him. You know, everything. So they're just iconic characters. And Star Wars in general is so iconic for us as a family. And I wanted to get that on there represented on my list.
Hey, I saw that one show up a lot, and I definitely agree with it. It's not on my list, but I think it's a great pick. How did you, since we're on the subject, what was your thoughts on Chewbacca's kind of origin story in Solo this year?
You know, I didn't love Solo as a movie. It's okay. It's not as bad as some of the other, you know, Star Wars movies. It kind of runs right in the middle for me. But I enjoyed the Chewie introduction. I thought it was good. I thought the way they played him up and made him almost a little scary. And, you know, I thought it was cool. I liked it. I think it worked. It's better than giving us a full Chewie standalone. I don't think we ever needed something like that. And we kind of got a little bit of his extra backstory in the Christmas special, which none of us wanted. So, yeah, I think it worked. What about you?
Yeah, I like that. Was my favorite part of Solo was the introduction of Chewbacca and just kind of having a character that we knew in the Star Wars universe, which there weren't really any others in that movie. Yeah, that was cool. And I loved Khaleesi. What's her real name from Game of Thrones that was in Solo?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the actress's name off the top of my head.
For some reason, I'm forgetting her name. But Khaleesi, I love Game of Thrones. I love that actress. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed her in that movie as well. But yeah, I would say the relationship between Han and Chewie was the best part of Solo. I was a little disappointed otherwise.
Yeah. I'd like to go back and revisit it. It was one that I saw in the theater. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't fantastic. So yeah, I do need to revisit it. But of course, Chewie, anytime he's on screen, like I remember seeing Force Awakens, that was what, 3 years ago, right about this time. And I was so excited just to see him again on screen. He's one of those characters that's fantastic. And then just, again, the duo works great though. The comedy between them, the physical comedy a little bit, you know, it works so well. So
Emilia Clarke, by the way.
There you go. Yep. Yep.
I had to do her justice there. Sorry, I forgot her name. Game of Thrones has been off the air for so long. I haven't had to think about her name.
And you think that I host a movie show or something. I would know that, but no.
It's coming back in April, so I'm excited for Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, all right, man. So we're up to, we're flying through it, man. We're up to our runners up. So I'm going to give you my number two. My number two is another one that you and I may cross over unless you switch it up, but I love this movie. It was actually almost my number one. I kind of switched my two and one at the last minute. But it's the only movie that they would be considered a duo in. They also were in another movie together about 5 or 6 years after this one. But this movie just changed me. It impacted me so much. It really kind of dove me even deeper to the love of cinema that I have today than I had prior to this movie coming out. It really heightened my kind of movie-going experience. And I just go, ever since this movie came out, I go 2, 3, 4 times a month to the movies. And I think this movie's kind of what changed me and made me want to do that more often. But the movie is from also one of my favorite filmmakers, but it's Pulp Fiction and Jules and Vincent, portrayed by John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson, is my number two.
Okay, so tell me again about the hash bar.
Okay, what you want to know?
Hash is legal there, right?
Yeah, it's legal, but it ain't 100% legal. I mean, you just can't walk into a restaurant, roll the joint, and start puffing away. I mean, they want you to smoke in your home or certain designated places.
And those are hash bars.
Yeah, it breaks down like this, okay. It's legal to buy it, it's legal to own it. And if you're the proprietor of a hash bar, it's legal to sell it. It's legal to carry it, but that doesn't matter, because get a load of this, all right. If you get stopped by a cop in Amsterdam, it's illegal for them to search you. I mean, that's the right that cops in Amsterdam don't have.
Oh, man, I'm going. That's all there is to it. I'm fucking going.
No, baby, you dig it the most. But you know what the funniest thing about Europe is?
What?
It's a little differences. I mean, they got the same shit over there that they got here, but it's just there, it's a little different.
Example.
All right, well, you can walk into a movie theater in Amsterdam and buy a beer. And I don't mean just like an old paper cup, I'm talking about a glass of beer. And in Paris, you can buy a beer in McDonald's. And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh man, they got the metric system, they wouldn't know what the fuck a quarter pounder is.
What do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Well, Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
Amazing. That's my number one.
It is your number one. Yeah. I thought we might have a little crossover.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. You know, they could very easily be my number one, too. I mean, honestly, the top two are interchangeable. It was literally just whatever I decided to say first. So that's the one I went with first. But also because they really just had that one movie together. They were in a movie called Basic together, too, which I think came out a few years later. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that they were. They were more adversaries than a duo in that movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, in Pulp Fiction, they're funny. So they have the comedy there. You know, John Travolta's Vincent is just kind of a little feeble-minded in a way and a little careless in a way. And Jules is very kind of like stern and strict and trying to keep him in line, you know. And they need each other. They play off each other so well. I mean, the iconic scenes of them in the kind of beach gear after they get blood and guts all over their clothes and having to spray each other with a hose. And
dorks.
I mean,
you know, it's
just...
like dorks.
Dorks, yeah. just iconic. I mean, it's just one of my favorite movies, my favorite filmmaker, and definitely one of my favorite duos are Jules and Vincent from Pulp Fiction. Do you want to go ahead and talk about it now since
yeah,
it's your number one?
That's fine. I totally agree with everything you said. Pulp Fiction for me was one of those movies. I didn't see it when it first came out, 94? I guess I saw it probably 3 or 4 years. It probably took me 3 or 4 years to see this because I was a teenager in high school at the time, and I started working at Blockbuster, and that was one of the first movies I rented and got into and was like blown away by it. I think a lot of ways this movie I credit with getting me into film, as it were, quote unquote, and understanding filmmaking aspects and, you know, really appreciating film, not just movies, if that makes sense. And yeah, Tarantino does it for me every time. He's one of my favorite, you know, directors, and this movie has always been my favorite of his. And Jules and Vincent is just a fantastic relationship. I mean, really, at the to overview it, they're really just coworkers for the most part. You know, you all we all have something like that where you have a coworker that you're kind of forced to be, you know, friendly with or whatever. But then it grows. The relationship grows through adversity, and they have to kind of get each other's back. And I like that. And I like the different ways that we see them helping each other out, and the growth of the characters throughout the movie. The arc that both of them go on is fantastic. And yeah, they're great performances. Probably my favorite John Travolta performance of all. And I love anytime you can get a meaty Sam Jackson role. You know, most of the time he's just a cameo for the most part, but to get a full performance from him is always fantastic too. So probably, probably my favorite performance of both of these actors. And it's just such a great movie, and another one I can watch anytime, any place of the movie. And I just love it. It's probably my favorite film of all time.
And this, that's awesome. I didn't know you were going to go that far, but hey, that's cool. It's probably, it would probably be, actually, I think I did put this in my top 10 of all time. I think because I just recently made that list. Let me, actually, I have it right here, Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my number 7 of all time.
Okay.
Pulp Fiction.
Like I said, for me, I guess just the nostalgia of that, like it really ignited that fever in me of like loving film, and let me dive into everything and just see who made what and why and how they did this. And of course, Tarantino is kind of a stealer of things and pays a lot of homage to other people that came before him. But I just love the way he does it.
Yeah, no, definitely the grindhouse whole thing, man. I love it. It blew me away. Like I said, it changed me as far as the type of movie fan I was. It was like before it was, you know, before me, Pulp Fiction, and then after Pulp Fiction, me, and they're two different people. So it really changed my love for movies and going to the movies and experiencing them on the big screen and stuff like that. I saw that in the theater probably 3 or 4 times when it was out. Me and a friend of mine, Bob, went to see that 3 or 4 times once a week for a month. I mean, it was, we just loved it so much, and we wanted to catch all the things that we missed the time before it. And, you know, so yeah, I love Pulp Fiction too. Now that was your number one.
Yeah.
And it was my number two. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what your number two was?
Okay. Number two for me, I'm going with something I actually got a little bit of flack on. I was told this wasn't really a duo. I think they are. I think they're a team. It's almost more of a mentee-mentor relationship, I guess. But it's Marty and Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. I love this film, of course, as another one that was super iconic and nostalgic for me as a kid. Watched it over and over again. It fosters my love of sci-fi movies and just time travel. Every kid loves that and loves the idea of being able to time travel. And just the way these movies are done, I mean, the first one is fantastic. I really like the second one. A lot of people don't like the second one as much. Third one, we can kind of forget about. I'm not a huge fan of that one, but their relationship together is fantastic. Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox just can play off each other so well. The comedy together, and they really do care for each other. You know, later on in the films, you see the ways that they kind of go out of the way for each other to help, you know, save each other's lives or whatever. There's no better duo than that if you're putting your life on the line for somebody. So I don't know. I love these guys together. I love these films. Again, another one I can watch anytime it's on, part one or part two, and just love it. It's a great ride. And again, I've reintroduced it to my kids and instilled their love of the movies. So all these picks for me are just very nostalgic. And most of them are old films, I guess, but, you know, quote unquote. But yeah, these are the ones I love.
I don't want to know your name. I don't want to know anything about you.
Listen, Doc.
Doc, quiet. I'm going to read your thoughts.
Let's see now. You
come here from a great distance?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me. You want me to buy a subscription to the Saturday Evening Post?
No.
Not a word now. Quiet. Donations. You want me to make a donation to the Coast Guard Youth Auxiliary.
Doc, I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
My God. Do you know what this means? It means that this damn thing doesn't work at all.
Doc, you gotta help me. You were the only one who knows how your time machine works.
I love it, man. Doc and Marty from Back to the Future, another one of my favorite movies of all time. It's in my top 10 of all time. I will tell you, I'm gonna go ahead and change mine because I also had Doc and Marty at number one.
Okay.
But I do have five honorable mentions here so we can get a little bit more commentary on the episode. But sure. I absolutely agree with you, and I don't know why you would get flack for that. It is a mentor-mentee relationship. That's true. But they're a partnership. They're a team, and they're trying to get Marty back to the future, and they can't do it without each other. They are a duo on screen. They take care of each other on screen. So I feel like it does fit, and like I said, I would have originally named it as my number one also. I knew it was going to be in my top five, and like I said, a lot of them were interchangeable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I 100% agree, man. Just an all-time classic and just a great partnership on screen.
Yeah, my one and two were the first two things I wrote on the paper. So, yeah, a little bit interchangeable, but those were the first two to mine, no matter what.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what, I got five here to choose from, which I didn't think I was going to have to do this, Tony. You're throwing me for a little loop here.
Okay.
But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to represent the ladies because they haven't been really represented on this episode yet.
Sure,
this
sure.
is probably the powerhouse female duo on screen, and that is Thelma and Louise, Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon.
I mean, really? That business with your tongue? What is that? That is disgusting.
And oh my God, that other shit of pointing to your lap. I mean, what is that supposed to mean exactly, huh? I mean, does that mean pull over? I want to show you what a big fat slob I am?
Yeah, does that mean suck my dick?
You women crazy.
You got that right.
We think you should apologize.
I ain't apologizing for shit.
You say you're sorry.
Fuck that!
You say you're sorry, or I'm gonna make you fucking sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
I bet you even called us babies on your CB radio, didn't you?
Yeah. Sure did!
Damn, I hate that. I hate being called a beaver, don't you?
You gonna apologize or what?
Fuck you!
I love that movie, man. And yeah, Brad Pitt's in there too. One of his early roles. It may have actually been his first big movie role. I'm not sure. But 1991, Thelma and Louise, two great actresses that are heroines that are just tired of all the bullshit, right? And they hit the road together and they basically create their own adventure, and it's very empowering, and they are taking control, and you have a very young Brad Pitt in that movie, and it's an adventure piece. It's very heartfelt. I can remember getting a little teary-eyed at the end of that film back in the day. I probably still would. I haven't seen it in several years, but I do love that movie. But I feel like Thelma and Louise, especially as far as female duos go, they got to be up there. So I'm going to go ahead and name Thelma and Louise as my number one, brother.
Okay, I have actually never seen this movie, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I think it's one that just missed me. You know, the age I was at, I didn't see it, and never came back around to it. Of course, I've seen the iconic scenes from it, them driving off the cliff and blah, 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 but right, I've never actually sat down and watched the movie, so sorry about that.
It's okay, man. Hey, but it's something for you to check out for sure, because it's one of the better movies to come out of the 90s. And I love that movie. Always have. So there we go, man. I tell you what, let's do. That was a quick one, brother. We got through it. We had a few crossover there, but that's okay. We knew we had the same taste. So what are you going to do? I mean, hey, great minds think alike, as they
sure,
say, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So why don't you round out, if you have any honorable mentions over there, Tony, what do you got for honorables that you didn't put on your top five?
Well, I had one that was just off my list. And it was because I kind of didn't want to do like rom-com or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I just kind of tried to stay away from that. But one for me that I've always loved and I think doesn't get enough credit in the world of romantic comedies is When Harry Met Sally. I love Harry mm-hmm. and Sally, their relationship, how they really are just friends for the most part through the entire movie, or almost frenemies at the beginning where they're kind of begrudgingly thrown together. And I just love the way that their characters grow throughout the movie. And then by the end, of course, fall in love, the famous, you know, New Year's Eve sequence. But I just love this movie. I don't think it gets talked about enough. Billy Crystal is a fantastic actor, and Meg Ryan really is great in this movie, probably my favorite performance of hers. So I don't know, I just love this movie. There's so many quotable lines in here too. Have you seen it in a long time? I feel like it's one that I need to revisit personally.
No, it's been a minute, but it is great. I agree with you.
Yeah. This was definitely like a number six for me. Very close to making my list. Cool. The one that I dropped off, which because I saw it on social media, sorry, Brian, but Harry and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber is, of course, a classic, iconic comedy duo. I think the reason I kept it off is just because the sequel was kind of weak and, you know, it kind of dumbed down the relationship for me, if you will. So I kept them off the list. Yeah.
Right. No, that's a good one, too. That one's also my honorable mentions. And then a few that did not get mentioned yet that are on my honorables.
Matilda
and Leon from Leon the Professional.
Oh, yeah. Great one.
A young Natalie Portman in her first movie role, and it takes on a little bit of a father-daughter, but also a little bit of a kind of crime team.
Yeah.
It's a very unique relationship they have in that movie, but I thought they were a great on-screen duo.
It is. There's a little bit of like creepiness with some of the sexual stuff going on there, but yeah, I agree with you. It is a fantastic movie, so...
And also, I'm surprised this didn't get mentioned, but Murtaugh and Riggs from Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover from those movies.
Yeah, that's another one I didn't even think about. And it's funny because they've been a lot of discussion, I feel like, this season with a lot of people talking about Lethal Weapon as a Christmas movie. What do you think on that?
You know, we had this discussion on Epic Film Guys last night, actually, with Justin and Loy. But I'm on the side of it's not a Christmas movie unless the central theme is Christmas related.
I totally agree. If
it takes place at Christmas, it's not a Christmas movie, in my opinion, because Christmas movies become its own genre at this point.
Sure.
Now, it is a tangential Christmas movie, which means it's fun to watch at Christmas time.
There you go.
But it's also a movie that you could watch at any other time of the year that just happens to take place at Christmas.
Let's keep rolling. That's a whole other episode we could record right now.
It is a whole thing, and we talked about that last night, you know, because they were asking about Batman Returns and Die Hard and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, I get it, and I love watching them at Christmas time, but they're just not Christmas movies to me personally, but I get the argument as to why they are for some.
But back to Lethal Weapon, though, that's a great pairing. Another one that didn't really pop in my mind. It wasn't like a huge series for me growing up, I guess, but I like those movies. I guess I need to go back and revisit.
Yeah, and the only one that didn't get mentioned that I have on my list is Jay and Silent Bob from the Kevin Smith franchise, Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy. Pretty much every movie Kevin Smith's done, those guys are in.
I had them on there as well because, of course, they were very iconic to me, too. Clerks was a fantastic movie. You know, besides Tarantino, I think a lot of the Kevin Smith stuff early on for me was like, ooh, I love this. I love this guy's doing something different. And
yeah,
those characters are definitely iconic and coming back around again next year. He's working on the reboot. So
yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I agree.
I did have a couple other ones. Just because I was debating that great comedy, you know, duo, Spade and Farley for me in both Tommy Boy and Black Sheep. I love their, you know, chemistry, and I really miss Chris Farley. I think he's hysterical, and those movies are great. So if you haven't seen either of those, definitely go check those out because that's a little bit stealing from people before them, of course, but I think they were great together. And then same thing, you know, SNL alums Wayne and Garth for Wayne's World.
That's true. I didn't think about Wayne and Garth. Yeah, that's true. They are. Yeah. That is an iconic duo for sure. But yeah, I love Chris Farley too, man. I met him on the street in New York when I was there with my high school marketing club. He was walking down the street. He had like a, what do you call the hats with the, like the golf hats. I can't remember what they're called. But he had one of those on and he had his hands in his pockets. He was really cold. He was walking down the street. And I was like, Chris Farley. Mm-hmm. And he looked over and he just did a head nod to me and just kept walking. So yeah,
and that was the day that he overdosed.
Yeah, I sent him off the edge. I say that I met him, but I use that word, term loosely. Sure. But so let's go over to Twitter, man, and open up the suggestion box. You know, I just put this up a few hours ago. We got quite a bit of feedback here, a lot of which we mentioned, but I'll just run through some of them real quick, Tony. And if you want to give some reaction to these. So let's see. Movie reviews in 20Q said Back to the Future, of course. Doc and Marty. So there you go.
There you go.
Varmints, our good buddy Paul over at Varmints. I love him. I love that show. He had a ton that he put up several gifts for. But he agreed with us on Pulp Fiction. He agreed with us on Chewie and Han Solo. Let's see. He also put up Cheech and Chong. What do you think about that?
I had them as an initial kind of honorable mention. They were never going to make my top five. But yeah, it's an interesting duo for sure.
And then I thought this one was interesting, but he put up Dory and Marlin from Finding Nemo.
I saw a couple people go animation. I guess I didn't really think too much into the animation realm besides just Buzz and Woody. Like, once I got my one, I was kind of out and didn't really, you know, think much more. But yeah, I guess that's a good relationship.
And your boy Justin over at So I Married a Movie Geek said Bill and Ted. He put up a GIF of Bill and Ted. So that's
there you go.
Speaking of animation, MDX Pods said Mike and Sully for Monsters, Inc., which is another great one. That's a good one, too.
They've got a sequel. So, I mean, yeah, it must work.
Yeah. And then I love Cadavercast over there. And he's into vintage, you know, like vintage 70s, 80s stuff. So he'll do mentions for ones that I don't really have a great knowledge of. But he said Peter Fonda and Warren Oates, they didn't do that many movies together, but they made them count. So are you familiar with that duo? I mean, I know Peter Fonda.
Yeah, I know Peter Fonda. Were they in together? Were they in Easy Rider or what?
I don't know. I'm going to have to research that because he always throws me some rare gems. So I'm going to have to check those out. And then the last couple I'll mention, let's see, Netflix and Swill, our buddies over there, said Ricky Bobby and Cal from Talladega Nights. That's a good comedy duo as well.
Yeah, yeah. Ferrell and Riley. I mean, I would throw Step Brothers out there as my favorite of their combination. So.
Yeah. I saw Step Brothers come up on a couple lists too. And then the last one I'll mention is a frequent contributor to the show, Joanne, J. Markin 10 over on Twitter. Daniel Day-Lewis and Paul Dano, which I believe would be There Will Be Blood, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that being... I mean, I guess it's a duo, but they do not like each other. Yeah, they do not like each other.
That's dark. Harvey Keitel and Robert De Niro. Okay, Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci and De Niro. I could see that.
Any of that Scorsese group. Yeah, they work together quite a bit.
And then she also mentioned Clooney and Pitt, so I did get some love there for the Ocean's pick.
Yeah, now so what I was referencing earlier with that, with Pitt, I saw people saying Pitt and Ed Norton, and I'm like, that's kind of cheating.
Right, that's his duo with himself, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's an honorable mention. I did have two other ones that were kind of really throwbacky picks I wanted to mention just for old school film lovers out there. Butch and Sundance, just Paul Newman and Robert Redford together, period. I mean, I love The Sting as well, but Butch and Sundance took like the buddy comedy thing to a whole nother level. I love that. That was definitely in my top 10 if we went to a top 10. Bonnie and Clyde, just to give, I guess, some womanly love there. You know, Bonnie and Clyde's a great movie and a great, you know, relationship between these criminals that become lovers and whatever. It's a great movie, very influential, changed the game back in 67, I think, when that came out. So those two are kind of your throwback picks that I wanted to get out there.
Yeah, another cool throwback pick that I had on that article I wrote so many years ago that I was telling you about was Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau.
They were in, especially
in the 60s, but they were in just a ton of movies together. Most of them were comedies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're the Odd Couple, and then they did the Grumpy Old Men series later on.
Grumpy Old Men's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, so they're a great on-screen duo, too. Probably one of the all-times when you go back to the early days, so... All right, man. Well, look, brother, this was a lot of fun. You know, you were right. You called it that we would have crossover, but I think we still had a really good discussion about on-screen movie duos. And I can't wait to have you back in the future, Tony. We'll come up with another fun topic and bang one out.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and tell folks where they can find you at, though, brother? Where can they find you online and whatnot?
Okay. Yeah. Our show is called Take Two Podcast. We spell it T-O-O because we give you our movie reviews, news, and our Take Two as well. It's a little play on words. We're on Twitter at Take Two Podcast. And then we do a bunch of other spinoff shows as well. You don't necessarily need to follow all those, but we focus on some soundtracks. We have a wrestling show every week. We have a partnership with the CW network locally, so we do a recap of all their CW shows every week. So we have a lot going on in our feed. It's all on the same feed, so if you give us a follow, Podbean, Spotify, wherever you want to listen. And yeah, that we do a lot of stuff, and I appreciate you listening and spreading the word.
Awesome, man. Of course, yeah, I love everything you do over there, man. And like I said, I'm glad we're kind of formulating this new friendship online too. So thanks for all your support of the peas. That's for sure. I really appreciate your feedback every week and being part of the process for me too, man.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to find a way to get you on our show as well, man.
Yeah, I'm ready, man. Let me know.
All right.
All right, so that's it. So for Tony, this is Gerald signing off. That was our top five on-screen movie duos. You can find all of our information in the show notes as well. And we have plenty of top fives on the horizon. A lot of stuff planned coming up here in 2019. So make sure you check out our feed and subscribe. That's it. Tony, thanks again, man. I appreciate you being here, okay?
Thank you. I had a ton of fun.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you.
Credit card ride this train. Strong in a sudden, it can be.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.